So it's around this time of year that we tend to look back at our own lives. I'm doing that, and in the church. And we tend to look forward and we evaluate, you know, where we've been and where is God calling us to go. And if you're like most people, you're probably looking at your life right now. You might be making some goals moving forward. I'm doing that in my life and in the church as well. You might set goals to eat better. You might set goals to maybe eliminate debt. You might set goals to strengthen your marriage. All are really, really good goals. But I want to raise this question today. What if our greatest goal this year wasn't just to improve our lives? But what if our greatest goal was to please God above anything else? What if the driving desire, the cry of our hearts is to live in such a way that our greatest goal is to please God? It was Paul who said this in 2 Corinthians 5:9. He said, "So whether you're here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please God." What if our greatest goal, above anything else, would be to live in such a way that our lives would please God above all else? What kind of church are we going to be? A church that pleases God. And if we're going to be a church that pleases God, it's got to be filled with people that are pleasing God. And that means you got to please God, and I got to please God. And we got to individually please God, so corporately we would please God. And how are we going to do that? Well, the Bible is very, very clear that there is one quality without which it is impossible to please God. And we're going to talk about that today. To be a church that pleases God, it's impossible to please God without this quality. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God, to live a life without trusting God, boldly in faith. It's impossible to please God." If we're going to be a church that pleases God, we have to be a faith-filled church. To be a faith-filled church, that means you need to live by faith. I need to live by faith. And to be clear, this doesn't just mean like mountain-moving faith. Like, God, if you want me to take this job, may a camel walk in my room right now. We're not talking about just that kind of faith. Sometimes it's like, God, help me love my boss today. That kind of faith, right? It's not just faith in the big moments. It's faith as a lifestyle. It's not just faith in the big decisions, but it's faith in the everyday decisions. Because it was the Apostle Paul who said this. He said, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." It's faith that when we wake up in the morning, we open up God's word, believing that God wants to speak to us on that day. It's faith to believe that He'll direct our steps. It's faith to believe that His Spirit will prompt us to use our gifts to make a difference in the lives of others. It's faith to trust God even when we don't understand. It's the faith to believe what God says, even when what He says is different than what we see. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, I want to ask you a very serious question. I'm asking myself. And the question is this. Is your faith pleasing to God? Are you believing God for supernatural work? Are you taking daily steps of faith? How big is your prayer life? I could ask it this way. If God answered every prayer you prayed last week, what would be different in the world? Would your food be blessed and you got to work safe, or would people be saved? Is your faith pleasing to God? What's interesting is the gospel shows us two examples of how Jesus responds to faith. Two examples of how Jesus responds to faith. The first one is in Mark chapter 6, and Jesus was in his hometown. He was teaching, and so people were kind of offended. They were kind of critical. They were saying things like, hey, isn't this like the son of the carpenter? I mean, isn't that Joey's boy? I mean, we saw him grow up. Isn't that just that guy that's not that important? And they didn't honor Jesus. And they didn't believe what he said was true. And in Mark 6:6, the Bible says that Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. Two times Jesus was amazed by faith. The first time he was amazed by lack of faith. The second story is in Luke 7, and there was this man whose servant was dying. And the man had a conversation with Jesus. And he said, Jesus, and I'm summarizing and giving you my version, but like, you're so powerful and important that I don't want to waste your time. You don't even have to go to where he is. Jesus, if you just say the word, my servant will be healed. And the Bible says this, when Jesus heard this, Luke 7:9, he was again amazed at this man, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. When it comes to faith, Jesus had two responses. One, Jesus was amazed by a lack of faith. And then Jesus was amazed by great faith. And so when I ask you, which one is you? Is your faith pleasing to God? If you were with us last week, we talked about a high view or a low view of God. A high view of God is you see God as holy and reverent, high and lifted up. You want to honor him. A low view of God, unfortunately, is common today when people see God as casual, and they're almost comfortable around God. Why does your view of God matter? Well, because the strength of your faith is a reflection of your view of God. When you have a high view of God, you'll have a big, strong, and growing faith. But a low view of God leads to these three types of faith. A low view of God leads to conditional faith. A low view of God leads to stagnant faith. And a low view of God leads to what we call safe faith. Is your faith pleasing to God, or do you have conditional faith? Conditional faith is so common today. This is the kind of faith that says, God, I'll trust you as long as you do what I think you should. And if God doesn't do what we want him to do, we don't just feel disappointed. Sometimes we feel betrayed. I'll tell you right now, that's not real faith. That's control. And we do it all the time. You're a kid and you're praying for your mom and dad's marriage, believing that it's going to be saved, and it's not. And your faith falls apart. Or you pray for a loved one to be healed, and they're not. Or you pray some specific prayer that you get that job, or you get to date that girl, or you get to go to that school, and you say, but God, I did everything right. And when it doesn't happen, your faith suddenly feels fragile. Why? Because you had your faith in the outcome, not your faith in God. You see, God-pleasing faith isn't trusting God to do what we want. God-pleasing faith is trusting God even when he doesn't. It's a low view of God, conditional faith. It also leads to what we might call stagnant faith. And this is common as well. I mean, this has been me. This is maybe some of you right now. Stagnant faith isn't dead. It's just stuck. It's not that you've lost your belief. It's just that your faith has stopped growing. And what happens is you can still show up. You still check the boxes. You still serve. You still come because you know you're supposed to. But deep down, you know that your passion for God has faded. For me, it was a lack of spiritual urgency. It's a void of spiritual hunger. And the most dangerous thing about stagnant faith is that what doesn't grow eventually dies. It's a low view of God. God, not that big a deal. I can take God. I mean, he got me. You know me. You know God. He's my homeboy. You know what I mean. God's the big guy upstairs. And it leads to a conditional faith or a stagnant faith or a safe faith. And what does a safe faith do? Well, a safe faith avoids risks. A safe faith refuses to step out. A safe faith hedges. I found myself praying hedging prayers. God, I hope you do, but I'm not sure you will. And so if you don't, we're giving God a way out. Safe faith always has a plan B. And this, I've been here for too many seasons. It's dangerous because a safe faith whispers, "You're doing fine. You're doing fine." But the church that pleases God, our goal is not to do fine. Our goal is to live by faith, to live by faith. And here's the problem. If you're living with a safe faith right now, you have to understand you cannot play it safe and please God, because it's impossible to please God without faith. The problem is a faith that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. And the good news is, God never let it be easy. And so what kind of church are we going to be? We're going to be a church that pleases God. To be a church that pleases God, it's got to be filled with people pleasing God. So I'm going to ask you right now, is your faith pleasing to God? Because the faith that pleases God is never conditional. It's never stagnant. It's never safe. If you find yourself like I have, where you seep into a lower view of God and it's limited your faith, I want you to see God as he is. See him as he is. Who is your God? He's your Savior who saves you from your sins. He's your Redeemer who made you new when you thought you were too far gone. He's your comforter with you every moment that your heart is heavy. He's your rock when everything else is shaken. Our God is our fortress, a safe hiding place. He's your strength when you don't have any left. Our God is your healer, healing your body, healing your heart, healing your mind, healing you from your past. He's your defender, fighting for you in battles that you don't even see. He's your peace that passes all understanding. When you feel anxious and afraid, he's your hope. He's your hope when the future seems uncertain. He's your ever-present help in time of trouble, right now in this moment. That's who He is. When you see Him like that, high, lifted up, a reverent and a holy God, your faith grows knowing that all things are possible with God. And so I declare now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that does a work within us, within you. Within us, within you. Now to Him be the glory. Where? In the church, in Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever, may He get the glory. And the people of God said, Amen and Amen. Because a church that pleases God will be a faith-filled church. So if your faith has shrunk, or if you've lost your faith, repent, believe again, trust again, step out in faith, believe that He hears the cries of your heart. Believe that even that when you draw near to Him, He draws near to you. Believe Him to heal. Believe Him to save those that you love. Believe Him to break you free from the addictions that hold you back. Believe that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you, calling you to do good works which glorify Him. Believe Him enough to take the step of faith and obey what He calls you to do. Believe He can use you, use me, use us, this church, to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, this church was built by faith. And the future of this church, God's church, will be built by people who still have faith that God can do more, will do more, and will be glorified when He does. It's His church, and He gets the glory.